Well, good morning. Welcome to online church, I guess is what you would call it. And we're coming from the kitchen today. We had to move out of the study. This is the best Wi-Fi reception in the house, so we have to take that into consideration. And I just want to welcome everybody listening in and starting to get online. And we came on just a couple minutes early so people could have a opportunity to do that. And I want to say hello to all of our church family, and we miss you, we love you, and we also want to say hello to those who are tuning in, joining in for that are not with us normally on Sunday morning. Maybe your church didn't have service today, and we certainly understand that, and a lot of churches are not doing so. We miss meeting together, but this is a great opportunity to be thankful for what we do have. You know, what's going on is not going to last forever. And of course, I'm not on here to give COVID-19 updates or what I think is going to happen way out there in the future. We're not going to worry about that right now. We're just concentrating on today, and it is Sunday, and it's the Lord's Day, and we're going to do the best we can with what we've got. Chloe is going to come and sing a song, so pray for her. And she has been practicing a little bit. She has sang this at church before. But before we do anything, we want to gather together, go to the Lord in prayer, and ask His blessing on what is done today. So let's just join with me in prayer, if you would. Lord, we come today. I'm truly thankful for this opportunity. I'm thankful that we can do this. Probably more will meet together and hear the Word of God and attempt to worship together like this than we would on any given Sunday morning. So we are missing our normal routine, what we would be doing, but we are thankful that we have this. And I pray that, Lord, your Word and song would uplift our hearts and help us, and that wherever anyone is listening in, watching today, that you would comfort, speak to their heart, encourage us as only you can. We'll thank you for what you do. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and amen. So, Chloe, you come on and sing.
Sometimes in life, the road gets rough. The path gets dim, fear settles in, and you don't know just where to turn or what to do. I'm glad I know the one above who comforts me with His great love. Jesus, my Savior, is there when I'm in need.
All right. Thank you, Chloe.
You're welcome.
Now, I invited them to sit in the living room and watch this morning, be in here with me, but they would rather go upstairs and watch it on the computer screen. So that's all right, I guess. So this is our kitchen, and welcome today. We've tried to find the best spot in the house for lighting and Wi-Fi and everything else. We want to do a good job with anything we do for the Lord, so just bear with us. So I'm sure there's a lot of churches, a lot of pastors trying to do something to feed their flock today, give them what the Lord has maybe laid on their heart, and it's not easy, and you know, most everybody's not had experience doing this, so our prayers certainly go out, and we are thankful that we have this. So all that being said, I hope you're well, I hope you're happy, and doing the best you can during this time with what we've got. But Psalms 125, and I really encourage you to get your Bible and follow along with us. I believe that's very important. It's not so important what I say, but what does the Bible say? What does God's Word say? And so Psalms 125, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. It only has 5 verses, so it won't take very long to read this. Psalms 125, the Bible says, "They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth even forever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, to them that are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Israel." And what I want to focus on today are those first 2 verses, and I'm going to read those again. Verse number 2, or verse number 1 says, "They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth even forever." And so round about, look at those words in verse number 2, "As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth even forever." Round about. Kim and I lived in England. I was in the United States Air Force. And when we lived in England, of course you drive on the different side of the road as you do in America. Their intersections are also different. You don't come up to a stop sign so much many times as you come up to a roundabout. And roundabouts are catching on in America. I can think of several different places where you come up to a roundabout. And a roundabout in America sometimes is called a traffic circle. And what happens is you come up and you look to the left, you yield, you enter the stream of traffic, and then you exit to the right. So in a roundabout, what you are continually doing, you go in a circle. And so as we look at roundabout here in verse number 2, that word roundabout, it literally means a circle. A circle. And the Bible says, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, they circle the city of Jerusalem. Look what the Bible says. So the Lord is round about his people from henceforth even forever. So the word means to circle or surround. The word also means this. It means a neighbor. So we're talking about something or someone that is very near to us. The word also, it's a very interesting word. It is the word environ, E-N-V-I-R-O-N, environ. And the word environ means this, the parts or places which surround another place. The parts are places which surround another place. And so look at verse number 2. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, or environ, circle about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth even forever. ever. We have a good size picture at our church. It's in the basement down where the Sunday school rooms are. And it's a large picture. It's probably 3 to 5 feet wide and probably 18 inches to 2 feet tall. And it's right at the end of the hallway as you go up the stairs. And it is a picture of the city of Jerusalem, but it's a panoramic view. And I've noticed many times as we come upstairs from the prayer room or from our Sunday school classes, that picture of Jerusalem. And that panoramic view of Jerusalem, you can see the Dome of the Rock and where the temple was and all of that. But what you can see on the outskirts are these beautiful mountains that surround the city of Jerusalem. And when I see that, I think about this verse, this passage of Scripture. The word environ is where we get our word environment from. The word environment comes from that. Our environment is what surrounds us, what circles us, what is near us. You can look outside my kitchen window here and you can see, you think about the environment in which I live and which many of you live. Our environment is what surrounds us. Now, what I want to preach on today or teach on today is the subject of the Lord's environment. The Lord's environment. The Lord circles us. The Lord surrounds us. The Lord is near to us. The Lord created us and made us intending that He would be our environment. And so I want to preach just a few minutes this morning on the Lord's environment. Verse number 2, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people from henceforth even forever. So I'm going to give you three things about the Lord's environment. Number one, the Lord's environment is constant. Constant forever, meaning that it is changeless. It changes not. I'm going back to verse number 1. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed. The Bible here is referring to a place. It's referring to a place around Jerusalem, Mount Zion. And it says that Mount Zion cannot be removed, but abideth forever. Mount Zion is there. It is a constant all down through the centuries. You think about Jerusalem and you think about before the city was there, and then you think about ancient times, and you think about during the time since Christ, the time since Jerusalem was destroyed in 68 AD, I think it was. And for many years it lay in ruins and rubbles and, you know, just very few people living there. And today it is a modern, thriving city. But still, Mount Zion has always been. It has always been constant. The mountains around Jerusalem have always been constant. And so it goes into verse number 2. As the mountains, so it's making a comparison, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people from henceforth even forever. So it's easy for us to say, well, the Lord was with Moses, and the Lord was with David, and the Lord was with Daniel. I was reading out of the book of Daniel this morning. And the Lord was with Peter and James and John and Paul. And of course, the Lord was with all these people. But guess what? The Lord is with us because He is constant. People change. People come and go and live and die, and everything changes. But the Lord does not change. He is always there. He is always constant. And what a comfort that is to our hearts today. The mountains are constant. And they are consistent, and they are changeless. Now, we live very near Boone, North Carolina. We have several people watching in today. You may not know what I'm talking about, but in our little town, well, it's named after Daniel Boone. And in Boone, there is a monument to Daniel Boone. And it is right on the edge of town, on the edge of the Appalachian State University campus. And I'm sure many of you have saw it as you've driven by. And you go out there, and nobody ever does, but I have. You go out there and you read what is on that monument. And it says that when Daniel Boone came through this area, his men camped right there in the shadow of what is called Howard's Knob. So you come to the town of Boone, and the mountain that looms over the town, the closest nearest one, is called Howard's Knob. And they said they camped right there, and they came back and they made that monument that Daniel Boone had camped near, or at that spot, in the shadow, basically, of Howard's Knob. Now, when Daniel Boone came through this area, Boone was not a town. The mountain was there, the town was not there. Daniel Boone left, a town grew up in that area. A university grew up, the early 1900s, Appalachian State University, Boone, North Carolina. Boone is constantly changing and growing, and things that used to be there are not there anymore. And I mean, it's constantly changing, but the mountain remains the same. It is constant. It's always been there, and it'll be there when we're gone. When I was younger, the world's largest windmill was on the top of Howard's Knob. And I mean, there's t-shirts, and I mean, it was Boone's claim to fame. And they had that windmill, and the NASA built it. It was a big deal. But my recollection is the windmill was messing up people's TV reception, and they didn't like it, and it didn't pan out. But for a time, the world's largest windmill was on Howard's Knob. Guess what? They came, they took the windmill apart, they carried it off somewhere, and it's gone. But guess what remains? Howard's Knob is still there. Mountains are constant. In our area, you have Grandfather Mountain. Everybody is familiar with Grandfather Mountain. You go out west, there's Pikes Peak, there's places like that. And so mountains remind us of things that are constant. They do not change. The Lord is like that. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6 says, I am the Lord, I change not. I'm thankful that the Lord does not change. We live in a society that's changing. Everything's changing. Those of you that are old enough, you lived before and after 9/11. Our country, our world before 9/11 is different now. 9/11 changed everything. It changed how people travel. It changed how you get on airplanes. It changed how you transact money at the bank. I mean, everything changed, seemed like, after 9/11. But guess what? The Lord does not change. What a comfort. Now, this virus, this COVID-19, and what's happening in our world, I believe, and I don't want to, you know, I'm not foretelling here, not trying to do that, but I believe after this, everything will change. How people do business, how people go to school, how people work, how people react when they're sick, where once upon a time you go out with a cold, well, don't think very much about it. You sneeze, somebody says, God bless you, and you go on and you don't think anything about it. This is going to change after this. But guess what's not going to change? No matter how it changes our world, the Lord is not going to change. That comforts my heart to think about how He is the same. He's always been the same. And He does not change. That blesses me. That blesses my heart that the Lord is constant. God is not in heaven sweating this out, wringing His hands, wondering what's going to happen. The Lord already knows. And the Lord's going to get glory out of it. Everything else may change, not Him. He is a constant environment. He is around about His people today. And if you live at the coast, you'll just have to imagine the mountains in your mind. But if you're like us, you live in the mountains, I look out everywhere, and I'm reminded the Lord is constant. He does not change. So the Lord's environment is constant. Number two, the Lord's environment is comforting. It is comforting. Now, this comforts me. This helps me. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people from henceforth, even forever. That comforts me. Now, we have been told, and if you don't know this already, you've been living under a rock somewhere, but you hear now about social distancing. And, you know, I've met people that I know, and, you know, most of the time you walk up and shake hands, and, you know, I've met people and they say, 6 feet, I stay 6 feet away. You know, that's hard for us. That's hard for us. We are a social people, and our society has been disrupted. I mean, we're social, everything. We do everything together. We go to school together. We go to work together. We go to restaurants together. We go to sporting events together. We go to church together. We are social people. We are used to interacting with one another and being close to one another. And now, all of a sudden, you know, don't get near me. People that I know and am close to, you know, that I see all the time on a regular basis, you see, and it's very odd. You know, hey, if you even get that. But I want to tell you today who you can get close to. And no matter how you get close, it's not going to harm you. It's just going to get you better. And that one person that we can get close to is the Lord. In fact, we are encouraged in the Bible to draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. That is James chapter 4, verse number 8. So we may feel like, you know, out here in society, man, I can't get close. I'm missing that social aspect. Take this time to draw close to God. I was thinking about that this week. You know, we think about the future, what's going to happen, and why is this happening, and why... You know, what is really behind? You know, there's all kinds of conspiracy theories no matter what goes on in the world. But what we really need to be asking ourselves is, what does God want me to learn from this? Am I as close to the Lord as I should be? You know, if you lose house, land, job, health, whatever, you won't lose the Lord if you have Him. What a blessing that is. That's comforting to me. Draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. Kim and I were working outside yesterday. And, of course, we live in the mountains, and as I've already said. And you can maybe tell just a little bit if you've ever saw pictures we put out. But we live, I mean, right in the mountains. Everywhere we look, I look right up there, there's a mountain. Behind me is a mountain so tall that if I walked outside and looked up, I couldn't see the top of it. We were working outside, and I was thinking and meditating on this passage of Scripture, and we went on a walk, and we went down the road, and we went up the next road. And as I was walking along, I was noticing the mountains were everywhere. A reminder to me, a comfort to me, that look what the Bible says, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem. Or we could say, as the mountains are round about Boone, or the mountains are round about Bethel. Wherever you live in the mountains, you are in the mountains. There's no getting out of the mountains. If I go to the top of this mountain and I look out, I am surrounded by mountains all the way around. That is comforting to me. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people. From henceforth, even forever. So if God was God to Moses and Daniel, guess what? God's going to be God to us, even during this time. And even though everything's going on and we say we've never seen anything like this before, and we haven't, but God's still going to be God. He's still going to be around His people. Man, I get a blessing out of that. People say during times like this, you know, they say, where is God? Where is God? Well, God is everywhere. He is our environment. He created us that He would be our environment, and that we would look to Him and we would recognize Him in our lives. Now, all of God's creatures except man recognizes the environment that God created them for. Let me give you an example. Birds know their environment is the air. Birds know they're supposed to fly. If they get in danger, they fly. If they are carrying out their normal everyday business, they fly. If they are traveling from one tree to the other, they don't climb down, walk across the ground, and climb up the other tree. They fly. God made them to fly. They instinctively know that. We were at Dollywood several years ago, and those of you that have been, you know there's an eagle sanctuary over there. And so they rescue eagles that maybe they broke a wing, maybe they've been injured some way, and they can no longer live in the wild. And so, and I love eagles, and the Bible has a great deal to say about eagles. And I was walking around looking at the eagles, and there was one eagle there that his position, he was below where I was. I was up on a platform. And I was walking along, and that eagle was just sitting there. And as it was sitting there, it wasn't noticing all the people, all the commotion, everything that was going on. That eagle was just sitting there. I think he was on a stump or a branch of some kind. And all he was doing was looking up into the sky. And I remember thinking to myself, man, he wants to fly. More than anything else, if that eagle could have anything, it would want to fly. God made it to fly, and it was just sitting there looking up into the sky. And I was thinking, you know, in my mind, man, I bet he would love to be flying right now, but he's stuck on that stump, and he can't do it. He knows he's made to fly. Fish know they're made for the water. You ever been fishing, and you almost get it in, and it gets off the hook? Does it turn around, stick its tongue out, and hang around? No, sir. It goes deep and as far back into its environment as it can go. Those of you that are hunters or you like to walk out in nature, and if you go somewhere where deer are not used to people, man, when them deer, they feel pressure, they feel danger, what do? They go as deep and as far back into the woods as they can go. That is their environment. But man, although God made us and created us and he intends to be our environment, when we get in trouble, we go as far from the Lord as we can go sometimes. And the reason we do that is because we have a sin problem. If you go all the way back to Genesis chapter number 3, when Adam and Eve sinned, and the Lord came, and the Bible said the Lord God came walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the Lord called and said unto Adam, "Where art thou?" And Adam spoke up, you know, he's hiding behind the bushes over there. And he said, "Well, we heard your voice and we were afraid." When they should have run to him, they ran away from him. We have a sin problem. Guess what? Jesus came to remedy that problem that we have. He came, he died on Mount Calvary. Romans 5 and 8 says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." He came, he went to a mountain, and he died there for our sins so that we could be saved, so that we could live once again in our God-created environment. And I'm not talking about the earth. I'm talking about a relationship, a real relationship with the Lord. He is to be our environment. That is comforting to me, to know that whatever happens in this world, my relationship with the Lord is real and true. And I hope you know that today. That is very comforting. I look out, I see the mountains all round about. That's very comforting to me. And one last thing I'll show you about the Lord's environment. Not only is it constant, it never changes. Also, it is comforting, but the Lord's environment is also a citadel. Now, that's not just a college. That's not just, you know, a citadel is a thing. A citadel is this. Look what it says. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, that you know, mountains are a natural fortress. And that is what that word citadel means. It means a fortress or a castle intended for defense. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forever. Even forever, the mountains are a citadel, a fortress, a castle intended for defense. The Lord defends his people. Isn't that a blessing? I've lived in the mountains all my life. I've already said that 3 times now, if you missed it the first 2 times. But I remember being a little boy, and you know, we'd watch the news and we'd hear about, you know, massive tornadoes sweeping across the country. Or, you know, get prepared, a hurricane is coming. And my dad would always say, he would say, "We don't have to worry about that. We live in the mountains. They will protect us." people flee to the mountains for protection, for a citadel. And sure enough, and there's other disasters, there's other things that happen, other places in the country that we just don't think about in the mountains because they are a natural fortress. And so that's what I think about when I think about the mountains. I think about the protection of the Lord, and that's what it says. So the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forever. Now, that is not saying that bad things will not come to the Lord's people. You know, I've heard people say, well, the Lord's going to protect us from this and we're not going to get sick. Now, that is both unrealistic and unbiblical. Nowhere in the Bible do you find that God says to his people, okay, you're saved and you're not going to have any trouble. You're not going to have any problems, finances. You know, you might find that on TV, but you don't find that in the Bible. In the Bible, Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, the Bible says that he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. You know, if you're in a hurricane, you're not exempted just because you're a Christian. If you're in the middle of a pandemic, you're not exempt just because you're a Christian. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you won't get cancer, doesn't mean that you're not going to get sick, doesn't mean you're not going to die. What it does mean, though, is that the Lord is going to be with you no matter what happens. I'd rather be in Jerusalem in the protection of those mountains. I'd rather be in the Lord and in the protection of him surrounding than somewhere else. Far better to be in the fortress, in the castle, in the place of defense than it is to be out somewhere else. So the Lord, the mountains remind us that the Lord, he does protect us. He is with us no matter what is going on. The Lord is real in our lives. And we can trust that no matter what no matter what happens, he is with us. What a blessing that is. Now, on that same page in your Bible, there's another great verse. And it's Psalms 121, verse number 1. It says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Now, if you're a Christian and you live in the mountains, the Bible just makes a lot more sense. I don't know, if you live somewhere flat and you didn't have the mountains around you, you might not understand a lot of these things. But my goodness, we're surrounded by the mountains. You read, and it just makes me think. The psalmist said, I'll lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. So I look up, I see hills all around me, right outside my window here. But it's not talking about the literal hills. If you read verse number 2, this is Psalms 121 and verse number 2. He said, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. My help comes from the Lord. Our help, if we'll look to the right place, if we'll get our hearts and our minds in the right environment that surrounds us, we will realize and recognize our help during this time comes from the Lord. Don't sit around today, say, oh, poor me, I've got to stay inside, all this stuff. Man, take this time, this forced break, to look around, to recognize the hand of God in your life, in the life of your family, in your friends, and in our nation, and to look to him. He is the one that's going to help us during this time. And so I appreciate everybody listening in today. I hope that's a help, a blessing. We just much, much, much need to pray for our nation, pray for one another. I've told our church folks, you know, let's check on each other. Check on your neighbor. You don't have to go in, you know, and just call them, go by, visit on the porch a few minutes, something like that. Just let's really try to watch and help one another during this time. So thank you for listening. We do appreciate that so very much. Lord willing, Wednesday night we'll be right back here in our study in Galatians chapter number 4. So I'll be posting about that on Facebook, and we're just continuing on as much as possible. So I'm going to pray, and then I'll end the broadcast today. So thank you once again for listening. Father, thank you for this day. Please help us. Help your people. Help all the pastors, preachers, teachers that will try to feed their flock and do the best they can with what they have. Maybe they're using Facebook. Maybe they're using a podcast, something like that. God, please be with those that are going through normal problems. People still have cancer. People still die. People still have car wrecks. And Lord, this things like this make it even harder. Be with them. Most of all, anyone listening, watching that's never been saved, I pray the Lord Jesus, you would reveal yourself to them in their great need of salvation. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this time. Keep us. Watch over us. Thank you for all your blessings you've given us. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Thanks again for listening in.